Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, when we were studying part of the Sermon on the Mount here in our services from Matthew chapter 5, you heard Jesus make a rather shocking statement, or at least it would have sounded shocking to his hearers at that time. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That would have sounded shocking to the hearers then, because the Pharisees as a group appeared very religious to the average observer. More than that, as we see in today's gospel, they appeared very religious and righteous even to themselves. And of course, it wasn't just the Pharisees that thought that way about themselves. Other very religious people among the Jews at that time also thought of themselves as good, decent, honest, righteous people who had done at least most of what God had required of them in His law, and who surely deserved His favor far more than the Gentiles did, and far more even than the tax collectors and sinners did. And yet Jesus told them that they didn't have enough righteousness to enter the kingdom of heaven. They had to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. They didn't have enough righteousness for God, the heavenly judge, to declare them righteous, to justify them. Justification, as you know, is a courtroom verdict in which God judges a person to be righteous, innocent, acceptable to Him, worthy of eternal life. The opposite of justification is condemnation, a guilty verdict in God's courtroom. And God, the always just judge in the courtroom of His holy law, only declares a person innocent if the person is actually innocent. He only declares a person righteous if the person is actually and thoroughly righteous, as judged not by our own evaluation of ourselves, but according to His commandments. But we have this underlying problem with our humanity. It's fallen, it's corrupt and diseased, down to our very souls. There is pride where there should only be humility. There is selfishness where there should only be selflessness. There is hatred where there should only be love. And there isn't the devotion to God that there should be, all leading God to declare in His Word that there is no one righteous, no, not one. So the question of questions is, how can someone who is less than righteous ever be declared righteous by the God who cannot lie, cannot make a mistake, and cannot ignore the facts? Jesus shows us in today's gospel with the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In the only verse in the Bible where Jesus Himself uses the word justify in this context, He teaches us that contrition and repentance is the only way to be justified. Jesus spoke this parable, it says, to certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That was typical of the Pharisees, that attitude of smugness and condescension. It's the very definition of being self-righteous. Righteous in your own estimation of yourself. A good person in your own eyes. And these people were doing what most people do who think of themselves as good people. They despise others, looking down on those whom they see as not good people. Now, it's not wrong to recognize bad behavior as bad. It's not wrong to notice when other people are sinning. It's the next step after that where people tend to go wrong. They see the sins of other people, and then they start comparing those bad people with us good people. And then they make the huge mistake of thinking that they stand in God's favor because of what good people they are, how obedient they have been to His commandments, versus those bad people who are so obviously disobedient and therefore must be rejected by God. This whole parable is designed to put a knife through such false, ugly, self-righteous belief. Jesus introduces us to the stereotypical Pharisee in this parable. He parades into the temple with his head held high. He knows he's better than most of the riffraff out there. He has dedicated his life to religion and to living according to it and to teaching it to others. He follows the law to the letter, if not to the spirit. In fact, he loves the concept of commandments so much that he and his fellow Pharisees have added hundreds of laws and interpretations of the law to do even better than God originally commanded. He's sure that he has the right doctrine, unlike those Sadducees over there who deny the resurrection and the existence of angels. It's time to go to God's temple to pray, to give thanks. But what does he give thanks for? Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Jesus paints the picture as crassly as possible, painting this man as so full of himself that he dares to approach God with self-praise. Now be careful. Hopefully you're not starting to say a little prayer, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like that self-righteous Pharisee," because that's what we tend to do. And it's a terrible, dangerous habit, comparing ourselves with others before God. It's exactly why Jesus had to unfold the law to the people in the Sermon on the Mount. They thought, like this Pharisee, "I'm not an adulterer," because they had never cheated on their wives. But they were fine with divorce for any reason and remarrying as often as they wanted, which is also adultery in God's eyes. And it didn't even occur to them that looking at a woman and lusting for her was also a form of adultery, as Jesus made clear, and so on. They hadn't committed big outward sins in their narrow definition of sin, and so they thought that they were righteous and thus qualified for God's kingdom, while they saw the sins of others and assumed they were disqualified. But then Jesus gives us the example of the tax collector. Now you remember what the deal was with the tax collectors at that time. They were Jews who went to work for the Roman Empire, collecting taxes for the empire from their fellow Jewish citizens. And the empire allowed them a lot of leeway in how much extra tax they could collect and then pocket above and beyond what the citizen owed to the empire, taking advantage of their neighbor for their own benefit. The vast majority of tax collectors did collect extra, and usually far extra, and everyone knew it. They practiced extortion and bribery and favoritism. They were like mafia thugs going around trying to collect money from those who owed it to the mob. Except that what they were doing was perfectly legal. That's why they were so hated and why they were seen as traitors to their countrymen, the lowest of the low. And yet this one wasn't laughing it up with his friends and enjoying his ill-gotten gain. He was standing off in a corner of the temple, almost hiding from the people there, though not attempting to hide from God. He didn't look up to heaven with pride or with justification of his own behavior as a tax collector or with self-satisfaction. He didn't try to explain to God why he did it or the good reasons he had for stealing from his fellow Jews. No, he hung his head in shame and beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, clearly, it wasn't just words here. Jesus clearly implies that he means those words. He knows his sin. He isn't proud of it. He isn't comparing himself to anyone at all, although surely he could have found a worse tax collector out there who had stolen more, or compared himself with the murderers or the rapists out there. Nor does he intend to keep stealing from people, because it isn't genuine repentance to plan on continuing in the sin that you're supposedly sorry for and asking forgiveness for. No, this tax collector has been crushed by the weight of his sin and his guilt before God, and has turned away from his sins in his heart. That's contrition. That's repentance. He is now seeking only mercy from God. And you know God's answer to his request, because Jesus tells his hearer what God's answer is. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The tax collector, the lowest of the low, was justified, was received by God, received himself a not guilty verdict in God's courtroom. How could that be? Did God not know how bad he was? Well, of course, God knew. But this is why Jesus came, to provide sinners with the one way to escape condemnation and be justified, by contrition and repentance, which is to say, by faith in God's promise to show mercy to sinners for Jesus' sake. Now, how does that work? Because the sinner is still a sinner, and the judge has to recognize that. Well, this is how God made it work. He gave his only begotten Son into our humanity to be righteous in our place and to take the punishment for our unrighteousness on himself. As Paul said in today's epistle, Christ died for our sins. And as he writes later on to the Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In his justice, God couldn't let sins go unnoticed or unpunished, nor could he ignore his own requirement for righteousness in his human creatures. So he provided both the righteousness and the punishment in the person of his Son. And now he's opened up another courtroom, as it were, the courtroom of the gospel, where he invites sinners to enter in contrition and repentance, seeking his mercy and grace in Christ, who is the throne of grace, which is exactly what the tax collector was doing in the parable, seeking mercy from God in the only place where God had promised to be merciful, in the temple in Jerusalem, which was a type or a picture of Christ himself. Now God calls out to all people, to Pharisees and to tax collectors, to the outwardly religious and to the complete pagans. Acknowledge your sins and turn away from them. Stop pretending to be righteous by your own right. You aren't. And if you continue to exalt yourself, you will be humbled by God, eternally humbled. So everyone, learn from the tax collector to repent, to humble yourselves before God, and to hold nothing up to Him except for His promise to be merciful to sinners for the sake of Christ and the blood He shed for sinners on the cross. Everyone who humbles himself in this way will be exalted, will be justified, will be forgiven and accepted into God's favor and into eternal life, not because of what we've done, but because of who Jesus is, in whom we trust. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.